Never going to light. It's got to be put in to the power source. And before your light can shine, you have to be plugged into the power source as well. And that power source is none other than Jesus Christ. That power source is none other than Jesus Christ. And so you can turn the lights back on now, KJ, officially, okay? And so this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's got to be plugged in. You've got to light your lamp. Before your light will ever shine, before you'll have any impact on anybody around you, and before the light and will have any impact of truth in your life, it's got to be lit. You've got to come to Jesus Christ. You've got to be, and by the way, the source of power is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of a believer. That's the power source that we have today to let our light shine. And I want you to know the Bible says that we as believers are to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's our power source. That is what allows our light to shine. Have you ever saw Christians whose light was not shining? How many have ever seen that Christians whose light was not shining? I've watched that. I've seen people over the years. They were believers. They can tell you when they give their life to Christ and God has used them. But for some reason or another, it does not look like their light is shining much anymore. And I've thought about that. I contemplated that. And I come to the conclusion what is happening there is their life is not being filled with the Spirit of God, and God wants to fill us every single moment of every single day. His Spirit is not inadequate. It's us that's the problem. It's the vessel. It's the temple that's the problem. And so for your light and my light to shine, we've got to allow the Spirit of God to fill us. And then it will overflow out of us and our light will shine. It can't help but to shine. But when your life is not filled with the Spirit of God, when you got junk in your life that is so piled up in your life that the Spirit of God is not shining through, it's going to be hard for your light to shine. And I chose this candle today again because not only does the light shine, but it smells good too. We have a light in our bedroom. I call it the funeral home light. Isn't that a blessing to have one of those in your bedroom? You ever notice that funeral home lights always shine up and they come down? I've figured it out. I've done a few funerals. You don't want to shine a spotlight on a dead body. It don't look good. Dead bodies just don't look good dead. They're made to have life in them. And when they're in a casket, you want to deflect as much light away from that body as you possibly can. You know, I've had so many people come up to me, and I'm sorry I don't think any of you have ever said this to me yet. They're looking at a dead person in the casket and say, "Oh, they look so natural." Really? They don't look natural to me. Seriously. I don't want to remember them laying in the casket. I want to remember them in life. Amen? It's you have to light your lamp. And your light illuminates darkness. I know this is easy to figure out, but your light, your candle, your light bulb, it illuminates darkness. Your light. Listen to what it says. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a basket. I started to put my hat up there today, and I didn't want to mess up my hat. Okay, because I'm afraid I'd catch it on fire. But that you can actually see a little bit of the light coming out of that. And we'll not lift this on there long enough to keep it and catch it on fire either. But, that candle up here, it's not designed to put a basket over it. It's not designed, and in that day and time, they didn't have the light bulbs like we have today and electricity like we have today. Everything was done with a lamp. everything was done with candles and it illuminated their way. And Jesus said, He said to His disciples there and the crowd that was with Him that day as He was teaching this to them, as He was teaching this parable to them, He said, you don't light a candle, you don't light a lamp and then put a basket over it. What you do is you light the lamp and then it illuminates your path. It illuminates darkness. And how many has ever been in a really, 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 really dark room? I mean, just you couldn't see your hand in front. How many has ever been in a cave before? How many has ever been caving? And if you go down in a cave, and there was lots of caves and caverns where we came from in southern Illinois, and you could go down in those caves, and I want you to know, you get inside there, and you could not see. You could put your hand on your nose, and you could not see it. It was just that absolute darkness. Or you go down into a coal mine. And you get down into a coal mine and you turn off your headlamp. And I want you to know when that headlamp goes off, you are in absolute total darkness. You cannot see anything whatsoever. It's amazing. You can be in a place like that and light the smallest little light. And all of a sudden, the darkness disappears. The darkness disappears because where there is light, darkness dissipates. I started out with my story about Romania, of coming into the country. I started out with that today, with those little girls singing, Lumina, Lumina. And I wish I had Lucas to sing it this morning for us here in Romania. But we're going to sing this little light of mine at the end today. But as I was in the country, and we had a great time, you know, got a chance to preach in a lot of different places, and we saw a lot of people come to Christ. We was able to plant a church in a former communist leader's hometown, where he was born at and where he was raised at. That was so awesome to be part of something like that. And then that God would use a hick from southern Illinois. It's just absolutely amazing to me. It really is. And so we were coming back, and I traveled all the way across the country on a train by myself. And we got back to John's house, and we ate cabbage rolls and went to the airport. Now, remember how long it took me to get to the airport the first time? It took that long to get back. I thought we were never going to get to Bucharest. A snowstorm was coming on. And we got there, and it was early in the morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, when my plane was sitting out there, and they taxied us out in a bus, and we got off the bus, and we got up and got onto the airplane. One of those, you had to climb the steps to get up into it, and we got up in the airplane. It was just beginning to break daylight, just barely, and the snow was just really starting to come down pretty heavy. And I was sitting there on that plane, and I was sitting there in my seat, all relaxed, laid back, because I was going home, and I was ready to go. I don't know if you've ever been with me on a mission trip, but if you haven't, I hope you get to sometime. But there's one thing. When I'm done, I want to go home. I mean, just watch out of my way. Isn't that right, Christine? Yeah, that's right. You know, when I'm done, I mean, my mission is complete. I wish God would have a way to fax me home, Jim. Just get me home any way I can. I hate to travel home. And believe me, when they picked me up at the airport, they hated it because I stunk to high heaven. I hadn't had a bath in about a week. But anyway, and that's more of the information you wanted to know. But when we got on that airplane, I was sitting there, and the engine on my side died. That'll bless you. They came out there, and they hooked these cables. It looked like jumper cables, Ron, up to this plane. And it went, rawr, rawr. And I thought, oh, Lord, it's on my side. Why couldn't it have been on the other side? They always said a twin-engine plane, when one engine goes down, the other one will take you to the crash site. And so, you know, here we were, and they finally got this motor cranked up, and it was running, and it sounded to me like top speed. Whoom! All right, it started, and we're out of here. And they taxied out, and we, boom, up in the air we went, and kaboom, kaboom, as we went through the clouds, and we got up above the clouds. And got up above the snow. I saw one of the most amazing things I think I've ever seen up until that time. And that was a sunrise from the air. It was awesome. Man, I looked over there to the east because I know that's where the sun comes up at. And there was a sun coming up. I said, that is awesome. Wow. And they banked that plane. I said, man, that's the worst storm I've ever seen in my life up there. That's black. And so the other window was open. And I could see out the other side and it was light. There was a sun coming up. There was a sun coming up. And over there was darkness. I said, man, we're going to fly into that storm. That's going to be rough. I'm ready for some air turbulence here. There's the light. There's the darkness. And you know what? I'm not real smart. And about 30 minutes into that flight, I said, that storm keeps going away from us. It's moving pretty quick. And God said, well, you big dummy. Actually, God didn't tell me, call me a big dummy. But I call myself a big. He said, that's darkness. You're flying into light. But that's darkness over there. You see, where there's light, it illuminates darkness. And I want to ask you, is your light that God's placed inside of you through the Holy Spirit, is it illuminating the darkness of those around you? You see, your light illuminates darkness. And not only that, but your light reveals truth. Did you realize that your light, the light that God's placed into you, reveals truth? Listen to what God's Word says again. Getting back to the text. It says, no one puts a basket or puts it under a bed. If you put your lamp underneath the bed, your bed's going to catch on fire. I just want you to know that. I wouldn't recommend you put your lamp underneath your bed. But it puts it on a lampstand. So that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known and come to light. Your light reveals truth about Jesus Christ. I've had people come to me and say, well, how can you prove that the Bible is true? Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? Well, how do you know that Jesus Christ is the only way? Well, you can't prove the Bible. You can pass. There's a passage of Scripture in Proverbs. It says the ringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. You could reach out and grab their nose and ring it and make it bleed. But I wouldn't recommend that, okay, if you like living. I really wouldn't recommend that way of proving that the Bible is true. Here's my proof that the Bible is true. My proof that the Bible is true and the truth of Jesus Christ is true because the truth has changed my life. The truth is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, and His life living in me changed me so radically from what I used to be. All I can tell you is my light of Jesus Christ living inside of me. And I want you to know, Jesus Christ living inside of you, that light reveals truth to people. A changed life reveals truth. How's God changed your life? How is God's truth? How your light reveals truth? Your light reveals truth. Reveals the truth of a changed life. Reveals truth that God, through the person of Jesus Christ, radically made a difference in you. Let's go on just a little bit farther here. It says, the fourth thing is your light makes you responsible. Your light makes you responsible. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away from him. You see, when you've been brought to the light, you're responsible of what you do with that light. It makes you responsible. Some people say, well, I just don't want to have anything to do with that. You know, I'll just sit here and I won't do anything. No, when you have had the light revealed to you, you are responsible for that truth. You're responsible. I'm responsible for the truth that God has given me. I'm responsible to let my light shine. And when my light shines, it's going to reveal truth to people. God made it really simple that way. It illuminates darkness. It reveals truth. And you're responsible for the light that God's given you. You can try to not be responsible. You can be irresponsible. But God will hold you accountable for the truth that He has given you. Folks, we as Americans, and we as the Orchard Church, are going to be held responsible for the truth that God gives to us. We are responsible. Let's make it personal here for just a few minutes this morning. First of all, as believers, we're to impact other lives. From this passage of Scripture today, I find that as believers, you are to impact other people's life. You're to reveal the light. You're to let your light shine so it reveals truth. So that people may come to know the person of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, who are you impacting right now? We're getting ready to start a new school year. And I want to ask you, at school, who are you impacting? Some of you are starting a new job like Andrea, or are going through some different things right now. Whose life are you impacting with the light and truth of Jesus Christ? Number two, what is concealed will be revealed. Do you realize that there's nothing hidden? Whatever you think that you've concealed and nobody knows anything about you, it will be revealed by the light. It says so right there in the Scripture. And if anything that I got out of this message for me this morning is there's not anything that you can do, there's not anything that I can do anywhere, any place that will not eventually be revealed. Have you ever been somewhere and, again, was flying one time and got off the plane in London and Heathrow Airport. And I don't like Heathrow Airport in London, but anyway, I got off at Heathrow Airport there in London and was talking to the people on the plane that was sitting up in front of me. They were from the Detroit area. And I began to talk with them, and she was from my hometown in Southern Illinois. Her dad and my dad showed cows together in the summertime. I got my first pig. I got my first pig from her daddy. Now, you think about that. A small world in England. You know, we live in a great big world, but it's pretty small today. And I want you to know, eventually, everything will be brought. Everything that you've concealed, that you thought nobody else knows about, will be revealed. So what God wants you to do is confess it. What God wants you to do is come to the light with it already. He wants you to come out and be forthright. That's the reason why that I've told you before, and what God convicted me early on after I was first saved and God began to work in my life. Man, did He ever begin to work in my life. He would reveal things to me that was wrong, sin that was in my life, and I'd come and confess it. Some of it I confessed publicly. Some of it I confessed, you know, privately because it wasn't a public sin. That's the reason why I've confessed and told you I was a scoundrel before I got saved. I haven't always been great afterwards. How about you? So, whatever is concealed will be revealed. If you don't remember anything from my message today, remember two things. Number one, let your light shine. Your light reveals truth, and you are responsible for the truth that God gives you. And just remember this, whatever you've tried to conceal will be revealed. You can't hide it forever. And by the way, if you let it come out, it would be a lot more freeing for you. You can't hide from the truth. You just can't do it. You cannot hide from the truth. Steve, I'm sorry I have to tell this story. You're teaching fourth grade again this year? Fifth grade? That was the best 2 years of my life. But anyway, yes. Sixth grade. Oh, sixth grade. We have any sixth graders in here? Now they're back there in the back today. I've also confessed to you that I was not a great student in grade school. I wasn't. All I did was keep my grades above what I needed to have to be able to play basketball. That was it. I could care less about anything else. And I wish that I would learn more and wish I would study more and all that good stuff. But I didn't. And I can't go back and change it. But I was in the sixth grade and I flunked a test. And I know that's really hard for you to believe, but I flunked a test. And the teacher told me to go get my mom's signature on this test. I forgot to take the test home. My mom would have signed it, would have got on to me and said, you need to study harder. And that would have been probably pretty well it at home. But I forgot to take the test home. And so I thought, I don't want, and I knew that if I didn't have that test signed by my mom, that I was going to have to sit in a recess. How many has ever had to sit in a recess before? I didn't like it. So I handed it up to Mike, and I said, Mike, sign my mom's name there for me, please. So Mike signed my mom's name on the paper. I turned it in, and Mr. Miller said, I don't think that's your mom's signature. I said, well, it is. I said, well, what makes you think it's not her signature? She said, her name's misspelled. Whatever's concealed will be revealed. That was right before lunchtime. I went to my grandma and grandpa's. Well, my grandpa was dead. I didn't go to his house for lunch every day. But I went to my grandma's house, and I developed a really bad stomach ache that day at my grandma's house that I couldn't go back to school that day. That stomach ache kept me home the rest of the week until Mr. Miller called the house. Whatever's concealed will be revealed. It was really hard for me to convince my mom that she had signed that test. I don't know how that name got on there, Mom. Couldn't lie out of it. I tried. Couldn't do it. Whatever's concealed will be revealed. You may be a whole lot better at it than I am. And I got better at it after that, too. I wish I could say that I didn't. But I'm telling you, whatever's concealed will be revealed. It will come out to the light. When the light of the truth is shined on darkness, it's revealed. It's there. Don't let the devil dupe you any longer. Confess it. Get it out in the light. And then you can live at peace. You know, as we close down this portion of our service today, I just want to ask you, are there things in your life that you've been trying to conceal? Bring it to the light. Let it come out. Let it open. Because light reveals truth. Let the truth live in your life. And your light will shine far greater than you could ever, ever imagine. Stand with me this morning. The musicians are going to come and they're going to lead us. I believe they're going to lead us in this little light of mine. Is that correct? Nope. One more than this little light of mine. We'll be doing the offering on this little light of mine this morning. And so...